That's just a crazy testimony. I love it. Same day, unknowingly, at The Price is Right. I don't think I know anyone that's been on that show. Same day, two cars, one. Let's go. All right. Well, we're going to shift gears. Wow, no pun intended. Shift gears into today's message. Richard spoke last week, and he's been kind of doing a short series on growing in maturity. Growing in maturity. How many of us know that that is needed in our lives and we definitely know it's needed in our friends' lives. Amen. But we do want to be a really healthy and a whole and mature body, because one of our greatest purposes on life is to be Jesus and present the Father to this world. So we have to walk in maturity. Where are we at?
I have way more than 800.
Oh, overflow. Overflow. We did it. Yes, God. All right, so you can support someone else on your team. All right. Amazing. Trip paid off. Amazing. Way to go, guys. And so this subject of maturity, I actually felt like we're supposed to branch on that, and there's some life on that that I wanted to hit this morning. Something that I've been picking up recently and was actually trying to find language for kind of the irritation and frustration that I was feeling. You know, sometimes there is a holy frustration that can be like experienced because the Lord actually wants us to bring a solution to it. And so I really believe the Lord is on this word of making us mature believers, not just like Sarah was saying, not just through our striving, but walking in the way of Jesus filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today I want to preach on growing in discernment. In this area of discernment, I believe there are two main problems that I'm seeing. First of all, there's major anxiety that I'm seeing with individuals when it comes to decision making. Major anxiety and stress in these big life choices. Whether it's fear of making the wrong decision with a job, a spouse, opportunity, people crippled by the fear and anxiety of it all. And then they're crippled with this idea of God's will. What is God's will for my life? Am I missing it? How do I know the next steps to take? Which job, which person should I date? We're all searching for these big questions of what's best for our lives. Where is the personal compass and how do I see it clearly? And secondly, the other main problem that I'm seeing is an instability in people's beliefs. In the parable in Matthew 7, Jesus talks about two houses, one that is built upon sand and a house that is built upon the rock. Which one do you think survives when the winds and the waves come? The one that is built on the firm foundation. There are a lot of people, a lot of homes built on sand. People are struggling having deep conviction of what is actually true and what is right. And so whatever the next book is, the next article, the next TikTok video that they watch, all of a sudden the winds blow their house just a little bit to the right or to the left, might shake it a little bit. And these individuals that are in our lives that we love, that we're pouring out to, that we speak truth, we feel like we're getting somewhere with them, we're seeing progress. This is great. My friend is like a ripening banana. They're coming from green to yellow, you know, and all of a sudden something takes them out. A new wind or wave of doctrine, a new 5-minute TikTok video of some random person that plants an idea and makes them tailspin out. This is the kind of day and age that we're living in, where people are not rooted and grounded upon the rock. But rather than just judging our friends, that's not the hope. The point is that when they're still stuck in these forms of immaturity, we have compassion upon them. We want their homes built upon the rock and to be rooted and grounded in truth. So often people form truth or what they think is truth based off of what they want to hear. The next appealing thought of doctrine pulls them into bad thinking, and ultimately it takes them down a different path than God's best. Ultimately, a path, any other path besides the straight and narrow, leads to death. Then they come hobbling back again. Once again, they come back to all you faithful people. They're saying, I'm at the end of my rope again. And it's because they've taken a diverted path. Maybe with good intentions, but just moving from one way to another with the winds of doctrine. Again, I'm not trying to belittle anyone. I actually want people to really thrive and live their best lives and their full potential. But this lack of maturity is actually dislocating us from our potential, and it's crippling us all over the place. And I believe that the solution for what is needed in this hour is the exact opposite of what we are observing in the frustration and the darkness that we are seeing all around us. When I look at the city of Los Angeles, I love this city, but if I was going to look at some areas of weakness, I would say that there is selfishness, there's pride, and there's immaturity. I'm sure we could rattle off some more. Those are the first ones that came to mind. Selfishness, pride, and immaturity. And a lot of that is because we are so self-focused. We're so driven by whatever our career path is, by what we're trying to create. It almost feels like every relationship is like, oh, I met this person. What can I get from this? We don't want to be that. We want to be those that are like, what can I give? Yeah. How can I bless this person? We're not just meeting them thinking, huh, I wonder if there's some way that they can help me out here. We're so self-focused. Because there's good intention, we want to see our craft made. We want to be successful in our field. But when it turns away from the straight and narrow, it leads to selfishness, self-consumed. It leads to pride. And ultimately, you stay stuck in a form of immaturity. So rather than getting pulled into this atmosphere of selfishness, pride, and immaturity, in the kingdom, we get to be the people that bring the opposite spirit. This is an upside down kingdom. We do not respond with the same ways and thinking of the world. We are citizens of heaven. And so we have to remember that we are not just the thermometer. We are not just telling the temperature of the land. We are actually called to be the thermostat. The ones that change the temperature in the land. It's time to move out of a victim mindset about how hard this atmosphere is, how hard your job is, how difficult it is to make friends here, and start to be the one that changes the temperature.
Yes, that's great.
Rather than selfishness, we are called to be selfless. Rather than prideful, we are to be those that yield in humility. Rather than immaturity, we are called to grow in the likeness of Jesus in full maturity. Amen. Can you imagine just one person in your life that actually took these concepts and let the power of the Holy Spirit really, really transform them and see a hyperspeed change in their lives in selflessness, humility, and laying down their lives for each other? Now picture that person and multiply it by a couple hundred. Can you imagine if this place was filled with individuals that were truly in a place of selflessness, humility, and in a place where we are growing into the maturity and likeness of Jesus?
So great. So great.
Did you know that that's one of our greatest missions as a church? We're here not just to preach good messages, not just to gather crowds, not just to make a statement that brings a goosebump or two. We're actually here to raise you up in the likeness of Jesus.
Come on, it's so good.
That's our goal as leaders, And that's our goal as fellow brothers and sisters within the church. Are we sharpening each other? Are we spurring each other on? Are we able to actually challenge each other in real love? This is the mission at hand. I believe the world around us is actually starving to really experience this kind of glory that can come through God's people who are in a place of being pure-hearted through and through. And one of the greatest keys to this kind of lifestyle and walking with God is called discernment.
Yes.
How do we form a greater spiritual and emotional foundation in our lives? How do we set our house on a rock rather than sand? How do we make incredible, life-giving decisions? How do we provide wisdom and truth in love to a world that is craving it? We get to learn to walk in greater discernment. I'm more and more convinced that one of the primary purposes of this life is to learn to live completely dependent on God.
Yes.
Completely dependent. And as we do this, in this dependency, it grows our maturity. It couples with discernment and wisdom to actually walk out this dependency that He is forming within us. So let's look really quickly. What exactly is discernment? Maybe this is new for you. Discernment is looking at any situation, a theology or a belief about God, a topic. It's discovering what is really true and what is best for our lives and others' lives. It's figuring out what's going on and how to approach that with wisdom.
Great.
Discernment. Let's look now at Philippians 1, starting in verse 9. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing the letter to the church of Philippi, and he's bringing an underscore of the importance of discernment in the body. I'm reading first from the NIV. Paul says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that," here's the reason, "so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ."
Yeah.
I want to actually read this verse 10 again in the Amplified, because it actually amplifies what the text is actually saying. Discernment here. "So that you may learn to recognize and treasure what is excellent, identifying the best, distinguishing moral differences, and that you may be pure and blameless into the day of Christ." Actually living lives that lead others away from sin, filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God, so that His glory may be both revealed and recognized.
Yeah.
Isn't that an incredible mission?
So
that we are living our lives in such a way that we're exercising discernment that both brings a yielding of fruitfulness,
yes,
and it also calls people out of their sin at the same time.
Yeah, so great.
And all of it is revealing and glorifying our God. The Apostle Paul writes this longing for God's people to mature in discernment. He says he longs for them to grow in knowledge and depth of insight. Wisdom, understanding, and discernment always work together. They are like a tandem bicycle moving you forward. Discernment keeps us pure and blameless. We walk out our faith with upright character and maturity by exercising discernment. And doing so sets us up as examples, even for others, to live holy lives. People can experience His very glory when we are exercising good discernment. So let's look, how do we grow in discernment? Step number one, like Paul, we pray for it. Wouldn't that be a good sermon every week? The application this week, once again, pray for it. We pray for it. We ask God to give us greater discernment day by day. But the truth is that we don't pray for it and automatically it just kicks in overnight. You know, you go to bed, wake up. Wow, I can really tell everything in my life just what to do. Wisdom is downloaded to me in every area. I wish it was that easy. But actually, when we are asking for it and then walking it out, that plays into the role of the growth of maturity in our lives. Hebrews 5:14 talks about how we're constantly trained to distinguish between good and evil. Our spiritual senses are exercised to use discernment, and it moves us into that place of maturity. So being trained in discernment is very similar to working out. All right, put yourself in the gym. Maybe you were there this morning. Maybe you were there 5 years ago for the last time. No judgment here, that's right. Judgment-free zone. But when you go to the gym, it's the new year, right? Some of you probably made some great resolutions this 2022. You're like, I put on my own COVID 20, and it's time to work that off. So you're like, let's go to the gym. Day one, you hop on that treadmill, you're working it out, a little sweat dripping down your brow, feeling good about yourself. You get home, you're like, I look exactly the same, just more sweaty. Day one. Okay, I'm gonna go back. Day two. Work it out, work it out, work it out. Get home, I look the same again. Now, day seven, day 14, day 21. 3 months in, you've dedicated yourself to this. You're gonna come to church and get a few compliments. You're gonna say, are you going to that Valentine's party? Indeed I am. Because you've put in the effort day by day. We are a microwaved culture. We love instant results. Let me go freeze that off. Let me go get a little nip and tuck. But true transformation comes with the day in and the day out and changing your diet and putting in a little work, putting in a little time. Praise God. Whatever it may be, there's usually not a quick fix. And in the same way, discernment and wisdom are developed within us in this place of maturity. Using discernment can be hard work sometimes. It may require you to dig into the scriptures, to seek God over and over. It's tiring when a new situation arises where you need discernment. You have a new theological hiccup that you have to address and wrestle with. Whatever it is, there's usually not a quick fix. And even taking time each day, reading scripture and getting into God's word. Some of you have tried that, and you're like, that's a little boring. I'm really trying, and I'm seeing this genealogy again, and I'm seeing these difficult things that I kind of don't understand. And you give it a few days, and then you close it, and you kind of move on with your lives. Maybe scripture's not for me. And you don't go to the gym, you know? It might even, when you're going to the gym every day, it also messes with your sleep, your schedule. That takes a lot of time. Yeah. You know what else takes a little bit of time is developing wisdom and discernment, getting into the scriptures. Yes. Not just forcing it to tick a box, but to actually engage with the Holy Spirit and invite in the Spirit of God to illuminate the scriptures. And though it might be hard work sometimes, and though you might have to work out those theological hiccups and it might take a season, through that hard work, you are actually strengthened and develop greater maturity.
Yes. That's great.
The Holy Spirit is the one that releases the power to really change and grow.
Amen.
The more you immerse yourself in the Word and spend time with Him face to face, the more discerning that you will become. Soon enough, you're going to be the person that people are coming up to seeking wisdom and to be the strengthened compass that they need for their lives. It is such a gift to those around us because it cuts through all of the noise that we are hearing, revealing the deep longing that actually may be hidden underneath the layers. Reading the word is like tending a garden. Sometimes you gotta change your clothes. You have to be intentional to go out there, work a little weed, pull a little fruit from the tree. Gardening can take time. In the same way, every time that you are reading and engaging with scripture, can we trust that the Lord is planting seeds even when you can't see it or feel it? Because he is. Did you know that it's impossible to pray and God not do something? Did you know that it's impossible to read the scriptures and not let the seeds of God germinate below the surface? Do we actually believe that? Do we actually believe that? His word says that his word will not come back void. I want to encourage you to stay the path of maturity. Every problem that we face, every new challenge, every difficult relationship, if we really have a perspective shift, every situation that you face, every difficult relationship, all of a sudden becomes an opportunity for growth and maturity and the sharpening of discernment. That takes a little bit of strength in itself to look at your problem and situation and that difficult person and say, this is a great opportunity for sharpening discernment within me. But that's the truth. That's the truth, that you can choose to partner with God and let him unleash his power into that relationship and into that moment and that problem and difficulty, and let him bring a sharpening of discernment that brings maturity. Rather than being reactive and letting our emotions lose control, can we pause and connect with God about it? One example that was an ongoing struggle with myself and my family is my grandfather, who's passed on. He lived till he was 97 years old. He was a minister, but he also went through some really hard stuff. He was abused as a kid by his brothers, and just, you could see the negative fruit of that through his life, where it became self-consumed. He had great attributes at the same time. I'm sure you know those people where you're like, oh, I love them, but oh my gosh, this is really hard. This is so difficult to be around them. I love them. I cherish them. I understand their pain. But what you're doing is blowing up the family time and time again. Forgiveness after forgiveness. Oh, we have to do more forgiveness. Awesome. You know, and it became such a way that even as a kid, I'm like, I'm not that excited to go to Grandpa and Grandma's house because I'm watching my mom be a puddle of tears in the bedroom again, and I'm watching Grandpa shout, and I'm watching just not a nice, comfortable place for family activity, you know? And he lived a long time. So almost my entire life, there was that difficulty. There was no like, oh, we're done, we can move on as a family. And the effects of that echo into other relationships in the family. I have one uncle that I haven't talked to in, I don't know, 7 years, except through a quick email. It's real, right? Living this life in this broken world. And we want so deeply to have the love of God rush in, and he does. But this is just the reality of things we have to walk through. But through this situation, I can truly say that I saw my mom and dad lead our family time and time again to forgiveness. I saw them bring us together and explain what was going on, explain their heartache. And I believe that from a young age, this actually developed maturity and discernment within me. Because I was able to see not just the reaction, but the process of continually, time and time again, yielding it to the Lord. When the emotions are a wreck, but choosing to keep our love on and to walk into a place of great discernment. And I was reflecting about that, and I was like, I actually learned a lot just through my own family drama. You know, God turned what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord turned for good. It was hard. It was exhausting. It was not necessarily fun to go visit grandpa, but it was worth it because through the difficulty, we all partnered with letting God work in us as we yielded time and time again, desperate to depend on God. When we're facing decisions to have to make, so often it can bring some deep anxiety and stress, especially with big choices. So I'm going to shift now to a place of decision-making, finding the will of God, and walking out successfully a life with the Holy Spirit to make good decisions that takes Spirit-led discernment. We are often facing a situation, and you're like, God, can you just tell me what to do? Didn't you say your will be done? I want to know your will because I don't know what to think or believe or do right now. I'm not in the headspace. I feel very reactive. It's real. God, just tell me what to do. Where should I work? Where should I live? Who should I marry? What's your will for my life? And it's awesome that we're wanting to connect with God about this. That's actually, the Lord is proud of you for wanting to connect with his heart about it. It's the very foundation of being a believer. It's saying, your will be done. But often God isn't super clear with, thus saith the Lord. I wish I had more mornings where I go to bed, Lord, would you answer this with your discernment? And I just wake up at the crack of dawn, the Lord speaks this day. Let me give you clear instruction. Some of you might have that rich relationship with the Lord. I am not there yet. He's not trying to confuse us. He's wanting to mature us. These are the times that we get to practice using discernment. He's given us immense freedom to approach the very next thing, that next thing in your path, and he wants you to approach it with wisdom to make good decisions. But let's look at using discernment for the things that are not as obvious. I'm going to actually use a four-door model that is from a Catholic father named Michael Schmitz. I like how he summarized this decision-making process. And he calls it the four doors of decision-making. The first door. So when you are coming to a big decision that you have to make, here's the first door. Is this a good door? It's a great question to ask, Father Michael. Is this something that God says never to go down? The starting and end point is Scripture as our guidebook. There are, like I said last week, some crucial black and white teachings. So things like, should I get drunk? Should I leave and abandon my family? The answer, according to the Scriptures, is no. You know, thankfully, there is a clarity that some things are not God's will. If this isn't a good door, what can we be tempted to do is to go our own way. So we get to the door and we're like, I think I'm going to maybe take a different path. Feels better for me, maybe. And if we aren't correctly discerning God's way, that path, your own decision-making, can lead to death. So people so often live according to what seems right to them. I'm convinced that potentially many of my friends think they're more compassionate than God himself. But the author of truth is the very source of compassion.
Good. Come on.
God has always a better way, and he will protect and cover us as we walk under his ways. And sometimes we talk about covering. Think of it as the hand of God that abides over us and protects us. When we step out of that covering to make our own foolish decisions, we are now under a place where our own willpower has surrendered us to the work of any environment of the enemy. But if we repent and come back under the place of God's covering, we are safe, we are fortified. He is our strong tower that the righteous run into away from harm. He's like a hen that gathers his chicks, you know. All sorts of imagery throughout scripture of the protection and comfort of our God. But when we go the ways of men, we walk out from this protection and covering. There are a few beliefs that can cloud our judgment for when we are discerning. I'm going to fly through a few of these. One is that we haven't fully surrendered. There's a wise woman by the name of Kathy Martinson, my own mother, and she says, if we want our own will and aren't surrendered, our own will completely mar our discernment. If we want our own will and aren't surrendered, our own will completely mar our discernment. When we are fighting in that tug of war of what we want and we're not surrendering, it is going to mar how you see things clearly. We tend to see through the lens of wounds. Wounds that have happened to you, through you. But if we can let the Lord wash us by the word and develop us by his spirit, then the very washing is like a lens is being washed and purified, and it completely changes the way that we see. It removes the victim mentality and allows us to see the truth as it really is from God's perspective. Another hindrance that clouds our judgment, the fear of man. A man-pleasing spirit. Are there areas of your life that you're really wanting to please another individual more than potentially pleasing the Lord? If you're just pleasing men, you're not going to be able to discern correctly. Thankfully, scripture says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That is placing God in the position that he should be, full honor and awe and wonder and majesty, and following King Jesus in the way of life. So number one, is it a good door? Number two, is it an open door? Is it a good door? Is it an open door? Is it even a possibility for you? For example, at this stage of my life, I'm probably not going to switch career paths and become an astronaut. For one, I don't have much of a desire to be in space. And number two, I'd have to go back to school and probably do a lot of math and science, and it just doesn't make sense. So that door is closed.
But you're out of this world,
Tom. Wow, thank you, Sarah. You can write that on my Valentine card. Are you an astronaut? Because you're out of this world. It's a good one. All right. We got Jeff going. All right. Is it a good door? Is it a good door? Is it an open door? And number three, is it a wise door? Is it a wise door? I wanted to also say, if it is, you're checking to see if it's an open door. Some of you could be very talented in an area. You apply for a program, for example, and the door is shut because you didn't get in. That's just a part of life as well. And sometimes we can surrender that and just know the door's closed. I have peace. I can move on to another door. Number three, would this be a wise door? Looking at the person of who you are, looking at your own personal history and your personal history with God, does this fit with the part of wisdom for your life? Does it align? So all of a sudden, you are walking a certain path, a career path, a certain way that you are going, and a new idea comes, man, I might want to consider this. But if it completely derails you from that history that you've created, could it be that you pause and have to use discernment? Think about a relationship. You may already know enough about this person that the door is open. It's a possibility, but perhaps it's not a wise door. We have to discern what is good and what is best. Not only are we discerning what is good, we are discerning what is best. How many times, think of my role as a minister of the Lord, Pastor Tommy. There are many good things that I could be doing. Well, I spend my Monday through Friday feeding the homeless, and then I go to the orphanage. You know, there are so many good things that I could be doing, doors of opportunity. But perhaps I need to stay focused on the best thing. What is God calling me to? What is the history with God that we've been creating together? I love still promoting and feeding the homeless, working with orphans, that's awesome. But is that my primary door of opportunity? Probably not. So is it a wise door? We can wear ourselves out and spread ourselves thin and be busy and tired by doing good things. But are we doing the assignment that God has, that best door? It takes discernment. Discernment and choices go together. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, let's put that up on the screen. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul again speaking says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." Did you know that we can, my life, literally this body, but also my spirit, my soul, my mind, all that I am, I can lay it down before the Lord like a living sacrifice. And that's why sometimes we talk about fire falls on sacrifice, because the fire, the passion, the move of the Holy Spirit falls on you when you are surrendered to Him. That is the place where you will burn with His love and power. A living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. So he's saying there's a lot of patterns going on in the world right now, a lot of ways of thinking, a lot of positive psychology, a lot of good intentions. Don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Amen.
Discernment is key when you're hearing all these good thoughts and ideas and philosophies and books and articles. Mm-hmm. We get to discern what the will of God is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Mm-hmm. Number one, is it a good door? Number two, is it an open door? Three, is it a wise door? And number four, the final door, is this a door that you and God both want? That you both want? We are in a relationship. Do you both want it? It's a little challenging, actually, isn't it? He has given us so much freedom. Should I marry this person or that person? Should I major in this and that? There's a pastor named Bill Johnson who talks about people come to him a lot. And they're like, "Bill, should I be a nurse or a teacher?" He goes, "Well, what do you want to do?" "I want to be a nurse." "Well, then heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and bring the kingdom of God." "Yeah. Well, Bill, I don't know if I should be with this person or that person." "Who do you want to be with?" "Then heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, bring the kingdom of God." Not making light, okay, of like God can absolutely ordain a job and a person for you. I think that's true.
Yeah.
But often when you've been seeking and it's just a gray area, then sometimes he's saying, "What do you want to do?"
Yes.
He's empowering you to use this model. Is it good? Is it open? You know, is this going to bring impact? The best. And he's saying, make a choice in discernment and I will back you up.
Yes.
And I think that's the tension and the mystery that we get to live with. Sometimes wanting that powerful, "God's ordained me to do this. I had the call of God on my life for this thing." knowing that he's called you. And then there's a lot of mystery where he's like, I'm not going to address specifically how you should do it. Let's just do it together. And together, we can walk this out and bring the kingdom. A key to this, though, is discerning your own motives. King David asked Holy Spirit to search his heart, his inmost being. We have to be truthful with ourselves. We have to, not in a place of condemning yourself, searching deeply and just wallowing in your sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about letting the Holy Spirit illuminate what's actually going on in your heart. You can't discern other people's issues and what they're going through if you haven't rightly discerned your own life. Be honest with yourself without condemnation. You know, even being in this city, I think we have to examine our heart's intentions all the time. All the time. And we have to, like, this new relationship that I have, and I'm enjoying this friendship. Am I getting something from this? They have a little influence over here. Are you checking your heart, letting Holy Spirit illuminate what's going on? Or maybe you're in entertainment, and that's a great thing. God's breathing on it. Maybe you feel like he's not breathing on it, but either way, you're here. And you're continuing to surrender it to the Lord and say, this is actually not about me. My identity is outside of my craft and what I do. It's outside of it. I'm not going to let this thing be who I am. It just happens to be what I do. I'm actually a child of God, and if he completely picks me up and puts me somewhere else, my identity is in him. But we have to be honest with ourselves and let the Holy Spirit speak. Am I getting something from this? Am I getting my identity needs met through this title, through this film, through this music project, through who I know? I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to invite you into a place where the Holy Spirit will so gently and beautifully bring a little bit of correction that actually feels good. God is so good that when he corrects, it actually feels good. Because it the truth is so satisfying. Finally, in your journey of discernment, always look for the shalom. Go to where there is peace. Live in the rest of Jesus. When you're living surrendered, there's absolutely no need for fear. The Lord always provides a way to get you back on track. I years ago, there was an incredible Jamaican woman in Chicago that was meeting with me doing some discipleship. And great cook too. But I remember describing coming to LA. And I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to go. I don't know for sure the timeline, but I think this is it. I don't want to miss it. What's God's will? You know, when you're making these big decisions.
Yeah.
And she was like, are you putting more faith that you're going to mess up God's plan in a place of a good intention? Or do you have more faith that you, attempting to surrender, he's just going to take his sheep and put you right back on the path? Yeah. Are we putting more faith in our own mess ups, in our own failures, than in the power of God to be our shepherd? And so I want to end with this. Let's keep this topic of discernment on our radar. What does it look like to be a people who marry the Word and the Spirit? We have to be a people who marry the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We don't want to just be these crazy charismatics that have no rootedness, and the next prophetic word that you get throws you into a tailspin. And we don't want to just be looking at the Word of God like a textbook, where it becomes lifeless, and we fall into the spirit of the Pharisees, where we know so much and knowledge puffs up. We need to have a marriage of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. That is what brings a strengthening. That's what brings the well of living waters that never runs dry. That is the promise of Jesus made manifest in our lives. The Word and the Spirit. Are we intentional with our time and our energy to let Him do so? Or do we think that we're too busy for probably the most important part of our day? I've said it myself. I've put off my time with Jesus. Oh my gosh, I've got so much to do. I'll get to that eventually before bed or blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden it turns into 15 minutes and 5 minutes and you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Are we being intentional with the most important part of our days? Let's consciously be aware that every hardship that we face is an opportunity of growth, of using discernment and wisdom, and just like I was alluding to, a good workout. Are your spiritual muscles getting built up and strengthened and toned? And are we looking as a body more and more like our living God?
Right.
So let's go ahead and stand up. All that I'm talking about is great in theory. Now we get to walk it out. And we need the work of the Holy Spirit to lead us onward. We need that good shepherd to be like, hey, I'm struggling in this area. I need a shepherd to take me onward. So even right now, Holy Spirit, just as Paul said that he was praying for discernment for those people in Philippi, I pray and we pray for discernment to fall and move within this body. Let us be filled supernaturally with the power of discernment. I know it doesn't just move like an on switch. But would there be a stirring and resolve within us to walk out this journey of life? And some of us have gone off the path that we know that we're supposed to be on, and we want to come back under the covering of your very hand. And I thank you too that there's a perspective shift happening where the difficulties and the problems and the difficult relationships are becoming possibilities. They're becoming moments where maturity is stirred and strengthened. And though we may be tired, we know with great hope who has the final victory and who will have the victory in that setting. And so I pull us even right now, and I break agreement with any kind of victim mentality and mindset that we have partnered with. And along those same lines, where we have partnered even just what resonates in this city with a self, being so self-consumed and having our mindsets being full of pride and arrogance and that we know better, we repent, we turn from it. We want to come once again to be those that are laid down lovers before you, God. Laid down lovers before you and laid down servant leaders to those around us. We will be empowered kings and queens who are servant leaders. So mold us and shape us. Renew our minds. We invite you, God, to come and have your way in our lives. And some of you, I love, Cheryl came up here to kneel. Some of you just need to come up here and kneel. So I want to invite you right now, just make your way up if you feel that's you, just to come and get right before the Lord or yield yourself or whatever that looks like. We put off any kind of fear of man or what people are thinking, and we come to you as an act a fresh surrender today. Fresh surrender today.
And even in this church body, as the pastor here, a fresh surrender in the house. I repent when we've ever made it about us, where we've ever made it about a label, where we've ever made it about a church name or how we do things or how we've got it right or better. Whatever that looks like, we surrender it to you. We are just a people who want Jesus. So we bring ourselves as a living sacrifice before you on this altar and say, Holy Spirit, come burn in us again. Where we've grown dim and weak, come blaze within us. Come blaze within us, Holy Spirit.